Welcome to installment 335 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of prohibition number 166, the prohibition that a Kohen is not allowed to render himself impure or tamei as a result of contact with a dead body. As we discussed in yesterday's shiur, as well as many times in the past, there is a concept of tumah in the Torah, which is not a kind of dirt, rather a purely spiritual concept, which, as the Rambam says in his legal code, is completely beyond our understanding. Why some things convey impurity and other things not is in the category of a chok, those laws which are beyond understanding. The law is that the most severe type of impurity, the most severe source of impurity, is tumas meis, the impurity conveyed by a dead body. This impurity is conveyed to a person who touches it, or carries it, or moves it, even without touching it, and furthermore, even someone that is under the same roof, tumas oihel, even such a case renders the person impure. At the times of the temple, anyone who wished to enter the temple grounds, the Beis HaMikdash, was prohibited from becoming impure, from becoming tamei. One had to be pure to enter the temple. However, should he not wish to do so, there was no prohibition, no requirement for him to remain tar. However, a Kohen, the children of Aaron a Kohen, throughout the generations, are prohibited from becoming impure. And this is our prohibition 166. It derives from the book of Leviticus, the beginning of chapter 21 in Parshas Emor, where it states, "Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav," that a Kohen may not become impure to any dead body. The verses that follow give a few exceptions for the immediate family of the Kohen. As the Rambam here says in Sefer HaMitzvot, that with five exceptions of his immediate family, the Kohen is forbidden from coming in contact. It's pointed out that in his legal code, as well as in Positive Commandment 37, which we learned a few days ago, the Rambam says that there are six categories. These categories, which by biblical law are exclusions by which a Kohen may become impure, are his father, mother, son, daughter, brother, and sister from the father's side. By rabbinic decree are included also his wife, as well as brother and sister from the mother's side. Not only is he allowed to defile himself for them, but as we discussed in Positive Commandment 37, he is required to do so. As the story is brought of Yosef HaKayin, whose wife passed away on Erev Pesach, and he did not want to participate in the funeral. He wished to watch from a distance in order to remain pure and be able to participate in the Passover sacrifice. However, the sages said he had a positive commandment to participate directly in the burial and push them until he became impure, until he became tamei. That since she was one of the relatives for which he is allowed to become impure, he is required to do so. As we've discussed many times in the past, and especially in the past few days, the reason the Kohen is prohibited from becoming tamei is because he has been singled out from among the Jewish people to serve Hashem. And since he has this additional degree of holiness, together with the responsibility of serving in the temple, he is prohibited from giving up this privilege and responsibility by becoming impure, since this disqualifies him for serving in the temple. Why then does the Torah exclude the close relatives? Should he have this responsibility? Why would the death of a close relative make any difference? The Chinuch explains that this is part of the mercy, the pity, that which the Torah has on the Kohen. Although they know he has this responsibility, and essentially he is a person who should be separated from Tumah, from impurity, and be serving Hashem constantly, nevertheless, since the Torah knows his feelings, and knows that he is experiencing sorrow as a result of the loss of his relative, the Torah therefore has pity upon him and allows himself to participate in the burial and to participate in the funeral in order to soothe his feelings and ease the mourning process. Not because that a Kohen is intrinsically connected with impurity in any way, but rather he is higher than purity, but as a matter of pity upon him, the Torah allows him and in fact commands him to participate in the mourning process in order to gradually relieve the level of mourning until he can reintegrate himself with the regular societal pattern. As we discussed yesterday, as well as other times in the past, This commandment involves hospitals as well as cemeteries, because although the hospital might not even have a morgue, it would perhaps have a pathology lab, and the law is that even organs from a dead body also convey impurity by means of an oil, by being under the same roof. And since the pathology labs or organ banks contain parts of dead bodies, they render impurity to a kohen who enters them as well. This has many implications for it. A kohen who wishes to become a doctor, or even a dentist, who also must participate in dissections and skulls and so forth, different parts of dead bodies. So too, as we mentioned, is the responsibility on the parents to prevent even a child, male kohen, from coming in contact with any form of impurity. This applies only to males and not females. As the Rambam says here in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the verse says, B'nei Aharon, the sons of Aharon. And as we learn by the Oral Torah, V'lei B'nei Aharon, not the daughters of Aharon. That although sometimes in the Torah the word bonim is used to refer to both male and female children, sons and daughters, here the oral tradition explains that it only applies to males and not to females. The penalty for violating this prohibition is, as in most biblical prohibitions, punishable by malchus or lashing. The Medrash tells us that all the mitzvahs that the Jewish people are commanded in, Hashem himself keeps. As the verse says, Magid Devar Rav L'Yoyankiv Chukov Mishpotov L'Yisrael, that Hashem declares his words to the Jewish people, his laws, and his laws, the laws that he keeps, he also commands us, which shows us that in some way Hashem also keeps the laws which he commands us. As the Talmud says, that Hashem also puts on tefillin, as we put on tefillin, in which we praise Hashem and his tremendous oneness, so too Hashem puts on tefillin, in which he praises the Jewish people. As explained many places in Kabbalah and Chassidus, what it means that Hashem does the mitzvahs. And so too here, we see that Hashem is also on the level of a Kohen. And the Talmud tells the story in Sanhedrin about a certain heretic who once asked, if Hashem keeps all of the commandments, and then he is also a Kohen. And if a Kohen cannot impurify himself, how could he have participated in the burial of Moses? You say that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by Hashem, so therefore, since Hashem is a Kohen, how could he have participated in the burial, the heretic asks sarcastically. And he has answered there in the Talmud that the Jewish people are a banim l'makom, that we are all children to Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly a child to Hashem. And the law is that even a Kohen can make himself impure for a child. And therefore Hashem could make himself impure to bury Moshe Rabbeinu. And similarly, the Zohar says that in the Jewish people in the exile are considered to be in a state of impurity. But nevertheless, Hashem will come into our impurity, in as we are in Golis, in an impure state of exile, and will bring us out of exile to the eternal redemption with the arrival of Mashiach. How will God be able to do this? The Zohar answers, the Jewish people are like a sister of Hashem. We are like sisters. And as the verse explains, that a Kohen cannot render himself tamei for any sister, rather an unmarried sister. As the verse says, Besula hakrevei love, a virgin related to him, asher lehoyisa leish, she has never yet been to another man. And this refers to the Jewish people, that inwardly, no matter what happens to us in the state of exile, we never leave Hashem. We never have gone to another man. We are always part of his family. We are still the sister of Hashem. And therefore, since even a Kohen is allowed to become impure for a sister, therefore God can render himself impure to bring his sister out of Golis, to bring the Jewish people out of the exile. If this is the case, however, we could ask a further question. If every commandment which we are given, Hashem also keeps, this only applies to a Kohen. A regular Kohen is allowed to render himself tamei through burying a close relative. But as we learned previously in Commandments 167 and 168, a Kohen Gadol is forbidden even from becoming impure for a family member. Therefore, just as we say that Hashem is a Kohen, so too we must say he is a Kohen Gadol. If so, although Moses might be a child, and all Jewish people people are his children. And as we are in exile, we are known as his sister. We are sister of Hashem. Although a Kohen can become impure for a sister, a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, may not, as we explained in the previous mitzvahs. How then can Hashem, being a Kohen Gadol, render himself impure to come to us? The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita has a lengthy explanation of this al pichsidis in Lakutis Sichas Chelek Zayin. However, since we're close to the end of today's shir, we could perhaps suggest a shorter explanation of this. The law is, as we see in the Rambam's legal code, that although a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become impure even for his close relatives, there is one case in which even a Kohen Gadol is allowed to become impure. The law is, in a case of meis mitzvah, that even a Kohen Gadol is allowed to bury the person, and in fact required to do so. Who is a meis mitzvah? As the Rambam explains in his legal code, this is a person, echad miYisrael shehayah mushlach baderech. He finds a Jewish person thrown in the road, and there is no one to take care of this person who has died. The person is mushlach baderech. Then even a Kohen Gadol, in that case, is required to bury the person. However, he is first required to call out to see if there is anyone else around. However, im hayakayin levada, he was alone, ve'eini mayachet, there was nobody else with him. And he called out, karasham baderech ve'ein la'ayne, he calls out in the path, and there is nobody to answer him, then he is not only allowed to make himself impure, he is required to do so. And so too applies to the Jewish people in the exile. As the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe once explained, that not by our free will did we go into the exile, and not by our own free will we come out of the exile, but Hashem himself will be the one to take us out of exile, that in our situation we could perhaps be considered to be a meis mitzvah. In a state of impurity, we are mushlach baderech, as a result of our lengthy time in Golis, we have been thrown in the path, and there is eini mayachir, there is no one together with this Kohen, no one else to redeem us. There is no possibility for anyone else to bring us to our final resting place with the coming of Mashiach, that we have been calling out, and Hashem himself has been calling for us to do tshuva. Ve'ein lo yeine, it's impossible, there's no one answering. The only one to take care of us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore in such a case, even the Kohen Gadol can become Tamei. In order to bring the person to everlasting peace, the Kohen Gadol can make himself impure and is required to do so. And so to Hashem, seeing the Jewish people in a state of Tuma, in such a low state, seeing that there is no one else to bring us to our final resting place with the days of Mashiach, so too he is required to do so, required to bring us out of Golis and bring us to our final redemption with the coming of Mashiach. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.